I wanna be famous, famous, better than all of my friends,
so much better than all of her friends.
I wanna be famous, famous, lonely and alone at the end.
Hi, this is Allison Sheridan bringing you another installment of the NoSillaCast podcast hosted on podfeet.com. Today is Sunday, October 16th, and this is show number 12. Well, that inspirational music at the beginning of this podcast is music courtesy of the Lascivious Biddies. The song is called Famous, and you can buy the CD at biddycast.com and the iTunes Music Store. Many thanks to Leanne for returning my email and letting me play that little bit. I find myself dashing down the halls lately singing that song whenever I think about my podcast, so I thought it'd be fun to throw that in. I've decided to make this a truly unique tech podcast today by not talking about the new iPod Video and iTunes 6. Everyone has been talking about it for weeks, what was going to happen. Even the LA Times and the Wall Street Journal have been talking about what was this big announcement going to be. And now that the announcement's out, that's all anybody's talking about, so I'm not going to talk about it. Well, the international listenership of the NoSillaCast continues to grow. We've added the Netherlands and Hong Kong just this week. The U.S. and Canada still make up the bulk of the downloads, and I am surprised to see at how low Australia is on their downloads. I'd like to see you Aussies pick up your weight there. You're not listening as often as you should, I think. I'm going to insert in the show notes a little graph that shows you how I know or what I do know about what countries are listening. It's kind of fun to see who's been to the site. I guess the only way I technically know if somebody's listening is if I can see that there's a large amount of bandwidth being used that seems to demonstrate that the MP3 files are being hit. The smaller hits seem to be probably just people dinking around on the website, but that's fun too. Last NoSillaCast, I mentioned that I was checking out a new blog tool for podfeet.com called WordPress. This is an open source tool that comes bundled in with the VisiWeb services that I get from my who's the host of my podcast. And it's kind of cool because you can just pick and choose which one of these services you want to enable, and so I turned it on to see what it is. The idea of this blogging tool for NoSillaCast is to be able to make posting new content really easy. And it really is easy to post each podcast and write up the show notes and that sort of thing. The most important thing to understand in the way this thing works is there's two different types of things. There's posts and there's pages. And posts are the real dynamic nature of stuff, like a blog that posting that I could put up, or the latest podcast that I want to put up. Pages are more static in nature, more like a traditional web page. What's nice about WordPress is it lets you use both of them, and you can keep the content up there, and it's pretty clear what's what. So I have put in some pages that are more static that give you kind of the flavor of what NoSillaCast is and all of that, what used to be on my old website the way it used to be. In order to edit this site and to mess around with it, I had to use PHP, which I don't know anything about PHP, so I had to muck around a bit, and it's pretty clear I'm going to have to learn something about that. The documentation available for WordPress is really, really good. It's done in kind of a wiki-ish sort of a format, but there's good forums. I was able to just go in there and say, hey, this isn't working, what's going on, look in, and somebody had already asked that question. At least 200 people had asked the same question. And the documentation is really clear, takes you step by step. It was really, really pretty impressive. One of the features that I really enjoyed about it was how well it makes archives all by itself. So I posted each of the show notes and the links to the podcasts using WordPress, and it automatically created the archives as a list by month, which was really cool. So you can just click on, you can see when I posted in July, and you can actually see that there was a big gap for a while there until Jay Jacobs got on my case and said, hey, why haven't you podcasted lately? So you can see that there. It's kind of neat. One of the cool features of WordPress, and I think other content management tools, is that you can choose themes that you can swap in and out, and you don't have to recreate all the content and create all the links and all that sort of thing. So the theme that I chose is called Ocadia, And I was able to go in, and this was the mucking about in PHP thing. I was able to figure out which files were used for the graphics and insert the NoSillaCast logo and the Podfeet.com logo. So it was kind of nice to be able to mess around in there. But again, like I said, I'm pretty clear I'm going to have to learn about this PHP thing. I found a tutorial, so I'm going to have to study out on that. I'm still creating new content in using NView, which I'm not sure I've reviewed that one before. NView is a it's kind of a follow-on project of the Netscape Composer software, which sort of works too. It's a real low-level kind of cheesy WYSIWYG sort of editor for HTML, and that's really what my main need is I want to be able to push a button that says table, and it says, okay, how many columns and how many rows, and I say, well, I want it 3x2, and it plops it in there. I'm not too good at all these little TD tags and that sort of stuff coding by hand. I've managed to pick up enough that I can muck around in it, fix it up when it's messed up, but that's about it. So I take my content I'm creating in NView, and then I'm cutting that source HTML into WordPress. But that doesn't work so well either, because it introduces a bunch of weird carriage returns, and I have to go through and figure out where it put them and which ones are wrong and which ones are right, and so I do end up having to fool around quite a bit. So it's becoming more and more clear that I eventually need to get a real HTML tool. I'm too cheap, though. You might notice that my most of my tools are shareware and freeware, and my excuse is that I try so many new tools that to spend $400 on a piece of software like Dreamweaver, you know, I'm gonna lose interest in a couple of months, so that could be an expensive toy. So anyway, I don't know. I keep going back and forth on whether I should buy that. I might buy an old version of it, see if I can pick some up cheap on eBay. If anybody has a copy of Dreamweaver MX for the Mac that they want to unload for cheap, that would be fun. One thing with WordPress, I have not yet figured out how to test a page, like create a page and then look at it, see how it looks, and mess around with it, and if it doesn't work, go back to the original save version, that sort of thing. It seems like everything is just live every time, and so that's kind of a dangerous way to live. So if you see strange things coming up on the website, wait a couple of minutes and try it again, and maybe it'll go back to normal. I did create a test page that I said, test page, please ignore, and that's why I'm kind of trying to fool around. I'm not really sure. What if I want to edit a page and I wreck it? What happens then? There's probably a feature in there and I'm just not paying attention. There's probably a draft mode. So one of the things that's nice to be able to do is to be able to post a blog entry. Like, I didn't really want to do a whole podcast on the fact that I had changed my format, but I wanted to announce this new look and feel, so I just posted a little blog entry. And I guess I see what the addiction could be of doing the text blogging. So one of the things to remind you is that throughout the NoSillaCast, I do have pretty good show notes that I'm working on throughout this. So the links to any of the products that I've mentioned here are always available through the show notes. Now with the WordPress links that I've got in there with WordPress, you can post comments to any of the things that I talk about. There's a little button for comments under each blog entry, and you can make suggestions for improvements to what I'm doing here. I would love to get some feedback on that. So I am really excited about something. I'm getting to go to the Portable Media Expo on Friday, November 11th in Ontario, California. My buddy Ron, that you probably met through one of my recent podcasts here, and I are going to go out there, and I'm just so excited. It's a two-day expo, and the keynote speaker is Leo Laporte. And if you've been listening, you know that I'd pretty much think I died and went to heaven if I ever got to meet Leo Laporte. So I sure hope I get a chance to say hi to him. I'd like to meet other twits. I think some of the other This Week in Tech podcast people are going to be there. I'd really love to meet Steve Gibson. John C. Dvorak is crazy enough. He'd be a blast to talk to. Steve is the quiet, polite one on the TwitCast, but when he talks, it's always intelligent and enthusiastic. He's a specialist in security, and actually he and Leo have a new podcast called Security Now. I haven't listened to it yet. Since I'm on a Mac, I don't have to worry so much about some of the dangers out there, but it's always interesting to learn, so it's probably worth a good listen to. I've been planning on catching that one. I think Adam Curry's going to be there. I sure hope he is. That would really add some flavor to the whole thing, too. I expect I'm going to learn a lot, and I hope to get some publicity for the NoSilicast while I was there. So I printed up NoSilicast business cards, and it's funny that I would bring this up in a tech podcast, but I'm really excited about these business cards. I bought the Avery Matte White quote-unquote clean edge business cards. These things are amazing. You print on this, it's a beautiful, pure white, and they don't have any perforations at all. So you know how you tear your business cards and everybody could tell they were fake? These things are beautiful. When you fold it, you don't have to fold it back and forth. It simply cracks in half. Sounds silly to be so excited about it, but I'm really pleased with them. They look very professional. I think it was like $16 for 200 of them, so it's pretty neat. Adam Christensen of the MacCast told me in an email that he's going to be there, so I'm really excited about getting a chance to meet him at the Portable Media Expo too. A chance to get to talk to him would really be a great thrill for me. So this last week, my son Kyle decided that he needed a wireless mouse, and yes, I do spoil him rotten in case anybody's wondering whether I'm not self-aware about that, but the problem is that I can't resist the desire to go out and go to CompUSA and buy a gadget, right? I mean, if he'd asked me for a new shirt or something, I would say, you already got clothes. But if it's a chance to buy a gadget, you know, I'm the one to go for it. So it was kind of funny, though. The reason I'm telling you about this is because of the irony of the situation. We looked at the Mighty Mouse from Apple, which Patrick Norton of the TwitCast said a beautiful quote. He referred to the Mighty Mouse as a future collector's item. This is a tethered mouse that costs $50. The big deal is that it's not a one-button or a no-button mouse like Steve Jobs has always had. He supposedly came up with a multi-button mouse, but he did it weird. You kind of have to tilt the thing diagonally to the right or the left to get the left mouse click, the right mouse click, and then it's got kind of pressure-sensitive buttons on the sides that don't actually move. They just kind of feel that you're squeezing them, and they cause things like expose to come up. I suppose that's kind of cool. The one thing that is cool is instead of a scroll wheel, it's got a roller ball, and that allows you to scroll diagonally left to right and up and down, which is kind of a neat feature. But, you know, it just wasn't the right tool, especially since we went out looking for a wireless mouse. So he was really interested in getting it for his laptop, so size was kind of a consideration. We checked out Logitech in Kensington. We looked at price and size and which one was going to force us to do rebates, that sort of thing. But you're not going to believe this. We picked the Microsoft wireless mouse. I kind of do enjoy the irony of this, the fact that we bought a Microsoft mouse to go on an iBook. But you know what? They make nice mice. It's the one we picked was the Wireless Notebook Optical Mouse 4000. Well, it sounds important for such a cheesy little mouse, but it's only $25 with no rebates, and it has a real nice smooth scroll wheel. And one of the things that's kind of a gimmicky feature, but really has some utility, is it has a button on top that zooms the screen, and it gives a continuous zoom as depending on how long you hold it down. So it'll zoom bigger if you hold it down for a long time, and then you can move the mouse after it's zoomed in, and it scrolls side to side and up and down within that. And then the nice thing is with one quick click of the zoom button, it goes right back to the way it was. I'm thinking that would be a really, really handy feature because there's so many times I'm looking at a website going, what does that say? You know, somebody did it in some weird font. You can't read it. It'd be nice to be able to pop it up big. Well, in my last NoSilicast, I posted that I wasn't satisfied with the free FTP client CyberDuck, which I'd been using. It was kind of exhibiting some hinky behavior, and I wasn't fully thrilled with it. So I put out the call to the NoSilicast listeners for a better alternative. Listener Matt suggested that I try rbrowser from rbrowser.com. Again, there'll be a link in the show notes to that. This is an FTP client that in the unlicensed mode is free for FTP, and it includes remote editing, and it calls that saveback. I think the saveback part is the ability to open a file on the server from within the R browser window. I found that to be particularly handy. I was always editing stuff on my disk and then dragging it up to the server, which of course is less dangerous, but I'm lazy and I'd rather just do it once and not have to drag anything. So I've been able to open files that are actually on the server, make a quick edit there, and then save it out. So that's kind of neat. In the licensed mode, it also provides folder sync. I'm not quite sure what that is, but it sounds promising, and it also provides secure FTP. that the license cost, if you do buy the license, is $35. For my needs, I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick with the free side and skip the license side. My needs are still pretty small, you know, just drag files up, drag them back, and have it be reflected properly, which was what CyberDuck wasn't doing. So far, my experience with our browser has been good. I'll keep you posted on whether it exhibits any of the hinky behavior of CyberDuck and give you any more review as I use this new piece of software. So podfeed.com does have some enhancements. In addition to going to the WordPress method of posting my podcast, I also added an iTunes tutorial on podcasting. I'm hoping that more people subscribe to the podcast to get the full podcast experience rather than just listening on the web. Certainly don't mind if you listen on the web, but you don't get the full experience of the podcast experience if you do it that way. So in the tutorial, I'll explain how to find podcasts and how to subscribe to them within iTunes. Got a few little graphics in there. Again, they're done on the Mac, but they would apply to the PC as well. Another enhancement to podfeed.com is a new page called My Favorite Gadgets. Now, I don't change my gadgets as often as I change my software, but I change them enough that it's probably worth checking back here now and then. The ones I have in there are the ones that are currently in favor, things like my PowerBook, which of course is my favorite gadget that I have, and the headset that I use that I'm using right now to record the podcast, my latest iPods that I enjoy. Wait, I'm not talking about the new iPods. I'm talking about my current iPods. Anyway, it's kind of a fun little place to go look at what I think is cool. Got my digital cameras on there, that sort of thing. Should be fun. Maybe I'll stick up that little mouse that I bought for my son from Microsoft. So I want to switch gears now to the weekly movie review. Friday night's film was Crash, with a long list of relatively big actors. Sandra Bullock and Brendan Fraser play rich white folks. Brendan Fraser is the assistant district attorney. Jennifer Esposito is a Hispanic cop who's partnered with black cop Don Cheadle. Tony Danza, who thinks he's Al Pacino, wanders into the film for a few minutes. My brother told me that he was just walked onto the set, but it's actually kind of a funny little scene. Matt Dillon is a black-hating, abusive cop. William Fichtner plays a corrupt assistant to the corrupt district attorney. The cast goes on and on, but it's made up of people of all different races and cultures, and it certainly is a culture clash movie. The movie takes all these disassociated people who have nothing to do with each other and has them start kind of banging into each other. Each of them has their own race bias, and it's interesting the way they do it, because for each person it seems like their point of view is makes complete sense from where they're coming from, but then they kind of turn around and show you the other person's point of view and you realize, wow, that's really wrong. It's a absolutely compelling edge of your seat movie that had me screaming, literally screaming, no, 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 in the middle of it at one point. It's got a couple of scenes that just really, really scared me to death. It kept my attention 100% of the time for 2 hours. I always measure the intensity of a movie by how often do I reach over and play with my PowerBook. I only did that a couple of times to check actors. For instance, I noticed one part that I could have sworn I saw Marina Sirtis playing from Star Trek playing a little bit part, and sure enough, it was her. The movie made me really think about it a lot afterwards and think about the points they were making, which is another indicator of a good movie. Do not rent this movie if you don't like to be on the edge of your seat and you don't like to be scared to death. So not in a horror film kind of scared, but a high anxiety kind of a film. So back to podcasting. It looks like Yahoo is jumping onto the podcast bandwagon, and I say bring it on. Let's get more people figuring out how to get their listenership up is the better, and more distribution channels is one of the ways to get that done. The service is available at podcasts.yahoo.com. Note the podcast is plural in that URL. I registered the NoSillaCast on day one, the first day it came out in the paper, and it took almost a week to kick in, but that's a little better than the first time I posted at iTunes. So it's not too bad considering it was their first week. They're doing an odd method of reading the tags, because it says that my duration of my podcast is not available, but iTunes can read my tags and correctly figures out the length. And I think I'm following the standards. I fill it in where Feeder says to. Feeder's the program I use to create the feed that goes up and the RSS feed that tells the podcast clients how to read the podcasts. So Yahoo Podcasts is technically in beta for right now, so I guess I'll forgive them. The interface on the homepage is pretty messy. It's got just a ton of stuff going on, lots and lots of graphics, and kind of intense to the eyes, a little frightening. But the search bar is pretty obvious, and the subscribe buttons are clear once you find a podcast you're interested in listening to. It does require a free Yahoo login, which is kind of annoying. I mean, I suppose by this time everybody on Earth has a Yahoo login, but I hate sites where everything's free except you have to create a login. It's just tiresome. It's more stuff to keep track of, and I don't know, irritates me. But once you do subscribe, it shows you that you can have two alternative music player softwares, pieces of software. You can have iTunes or Yahoo's Music Engine. It's not clear whether they're planning on support for any other tools, but for right now, those are the two that they've got in there. We'll see whether that becomes an interesting place to look for podcasts. Go on and check it out and let me know what you think about it. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal this week announcing that Sun Microsystems and Google are teaming up on software offerings. It was pretty weak on details, but I just get excited about the possibilities of these two companies working together. They said that Google was going to help in developing Sun's OpenOffice software, which is an open source competitor to Microsoft Office. My imagination just went wild at the idea of a tricked out, nice Google interface to the very capable but very stodgy OpenOffice. OpenOffice works really well, but it's very Windows 3.1 kind of feeling to it. The graphics are nasty, and I don't know, it's just kind of clumsy, but I could just see Google tricking this out. In spite of their troubles, I've always admired Sun CEO Scott McNeely and his junkyard dog attitude. You know, he just loves, he's a scrapper, you know, he just loves to battle with Bill Gates, even though Bill Gates looks down his nose at him as a little gnat not to be dealt with. But it'd be terrific fun to see what kind of havoc Sun and Google can wreak with Microsoft in the marketplace. I think that'll be a fun thing to watch over time, and hopefully more details come out in the future. Well, that's it for the Nocilla cast for this week. Please send feedback to allison@podfeet.com. I'd like to know what you think of the enhancements to the site and with WordPress, what you think of the software reviews. Do you think it's weird that I throw in movie reviews, or do you like that? And generally, what you'd like to learn more about in this technology world that we're all enjoying. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.